Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 223. And this is Stephen Zimmer coming to you live out of the Bluegrass of Central Kentucky, joined tonight by two awesome co-hosts, first from Tennessee, the Dark Style one himself, Daniel Dark, and in Kentucky, we've also got not more than 20 feet away from me, Holly Phillippe. Yay! How's it going, crew?
It's good to have both y'all in my ear tonight, so.
Well, that's good.
That's a scary thing.
I wouldn't miss it. Uh-oh, we got some static there in the line. Somebody does there. Maybe that's Holly getting settled. Maybe. I don't know if you're – are you getting settled there?
Okay, no, I'm not moving at all.
Okay, that sounds good. But the chat room is open. The chat room is open and working tonight, and joining us right off the bat, it does look like we have Tommy B. Smith and Clayton Barnett in the early crowd. And tonight, yeah, we do have a great guest. And the last few days have been sort of laid back, I guess, because I kind of went offline for a few days because it was my birthday and the 4th of July and all that good stuff. And of course, I didn't do anything extravagant, but definitely grateful for the couple bottles of bourbon that was given over the weekend. And that was quite nice. And I'm definitely going to nurse it because it's some pretty good stuff. So not going to go through it quickly at all, but it was a good weekend all in all. And Holly, of course, spending with Holly is the best part of it. And we had a good, we had a pretty good one, I think, Holly, didn't we? As far as I can remember.
I think so. Yeah. Nothing good. Crazy. Nobody, went to jail or anything like that. It was,
nope.
Yeah. It was nice. We had, a few people over for drinks and food and hanging out on the back deck for Stephen's birthday. It was really nice. We let off a few fireworks.
Yeah, stayed offline. Yeah, had my sister sponsored a little fireworks show and brought us a good number of mortars for the night. And since we live in a court, it's a really good spot to fire off fireworks from. So it was a good time, I think, had by all. Very relaxed, laid back, simple, which is the way I like it. And the food was spectacular. Holly engineered most of that, but definitely, that was a nice bonus there. So that was good. And had a busy, the week has gotten underway pretty busy. It's been blowing by quick. I just literally about 10 minutes before the show stopped working, since early morning today. So, I've been going like nonstop all the way up to the show here. So if my brain's a little foggy, forgive me. But I do have two cool things to pass on, to you guys tonight, to kick things off. And one is that we actually, in our Seventh Star blog, we launched a new author interview series, a brand new one called Indie Author Spotlight. And the first, author featured is Adele Lane, and she has an extraordinarily awesome new series that is really getting just glowing reviews, called the Night Flyer Trilogy. And I've had the honor of working with her on some blog tour stuff and with both Merchants of Milan Book 1, Secrets of Milan Book 2, and just an absolute pleasure to work with her. And they're in the genres of historical fantasy and historical lesbian romance. So really, really cool kind of cross-genre kind of blend. And she's got some really cool things if you like history, especially. She's an absolute history expert and history buff. And so, you the whole period of Milan and the old few centuries ago kind of time period really just resonates strong in these books. And but the cool thing about the author spotlights, and I'd love for you guys to check out this first one, the seventhstarblog.com. But the way the interviews are designed is to really get into the craft of writing and kind of really get into the style and craft of each individual writer. So there's only like 10 questions that we're going to be asking each author that we spotlight, but they really do get into the guts of writing. So for those of you that are writers or publishing or editing, I think these interviews will pull a lot of interesting tidbits out of the various authors that we feature. We do ask them about, latest project and things like that, but we do ask them challenge them a little bit, asking, what they think their biggest strengths are as a writer, where they think they, are working to improve, talking about, what they think of today's, what the tough things in today's climate for a writer has, and of course that gets at some of the industry stuff. But it's a really good series, and I think people are really going to like it going forward as we do more of them. But the first one kicked off yesterday, and that's Edale Lane at the seventhstarblog.com. That's spelled out, the seventhstarblog.com. And then also in the news is the amazing Peter Welmerich, and he is also a absolute pleasure to work with, and as an author, and we've gotten to work with him on the Transport series. It's kind of a post-apocalyptic military thriller with zombies storyline, and it's really well done. I mean, and if you are really into like military thrillers, I mean, it has that feel against the backdrop of a post-apocalyptic setting that includes zombies. So the zombies aren't like, up front as a core of the whole story. It's more about the units and the military characters that are in it. It's really, really cool. And Pete has, this is not a project that we're involved in, but he's getting ready to launch a Kickstarter that is a comic book series. And it's he's got a great team pulled together for it. It's called Big Jack, and he's launching a Kickstarter on August the 3rd. And it's written by Pete, of course, and then also Ryan Cummins, who some of you comic buffs will recognize from the Rumble Kings. And so, yeah, you'll definitely recognize his name probably. And illustrated by a super talented guy, and I hope I pronounce this right, Evie Cantata. And his credits are Eternal Thirst of Dracula and Mask. But it's definitely a cool set after the events in the Transport series. As Pete describes it, his Big Jack is a hardcore, hard-hitting story of a husband, father, and bounty hunter battling for survival and a world turned on its head against vicious foes, both two- and four-legged. So, yeah, it's going to be a really cool new comic book series, and his Kickstarter launches August 3rd. And that is Peter Welmerich, Welmerich. So I had a couple of cool little things to tell you all about. So what do y'all think of that?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, we're gonna get you in one of them features. We're definitely gonna spotlight you, and we'll definitely have to put a few folks in the chat room on the hook for that. I know Sandy and Tommy and Clayton and Kenzie Michaels, they're all in the chat room, and they're all going to be victims in the spotlight as soon as we can. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope people enjoy that. And, of course, Pete's an awesome guy, and you'll see him probably as a main guest on the show right before his comic book campaign launches. So we'll definitely have him in to talk about it. But, yeah, he's some busy folks out there. There we go. I'm just kind of peeking
That's
in the chat room.
Thing.
What we got? Yep, we got a lot of comments already.
What's Daniel got new? What are you doing right now?
Right now I'm sitting out in the trolley. I've been working on this thing nonstop except for when I took my little vacation. And it's coming together. It's just a lot of work. A whole lot of work.
Well, congratulations to you on your anniversary again, Mr. Dark, because I know that you were celebrating that over the past week. So in addition to your trolley, I want to definitely extend you our warm congratulations again on on a yeah another great year in your marriage. So that's a positive. Even
I've spent another year and Shane killed me, so it's been good.
You're doing something right anyway.
Yeah. Or that's she awesome. Just doesn't want to go to jail, one of the two. I don't know which one it is.
Could be a little both.
Like I was telling Daniel, at least he avoided having mustard thrown on him, at least on his anniversary trip. So
yeah, no
at
kidding.
Least that did not happen. However, I will share one fun thing Daniel told me. He did once again get a free meal out of a restaurant because I guess the service was so bad that they gave him a free dinner.
No, it wasn't the service. It was the food itself
was
so bad.
The food.
I gave her a $20 tip just for having to put up with everything that was going on in the restaurant.
Nice. Another
yeah.
Daniel Dark adventure. Oh, man. He gets free meals everywhere for one reason or another. Bad food or mustard getting thrown on him or, but. Hey, but at least Daniel gets free meals. that's a positive.
True.
So, true.
True that.
But
I told Sarah next year she gets to plan it because I've planned it the last few years, and our anniversary dinner and everything else has been screwed every year that I planned it.
The Midas touch. Well done.
Yeah.
Oh, man. At least Holly and mine is simple. We know exactly where we're going, where we're sitting, and there's not too much that can go awry because, they've got a definite long-time system over at the bistro at Joseph Beth in Lexington. So it's at least that part of our world is a little
as
more
long,
predictable.
As long as the bistro stays open, we're okay.
Yeah, and it currently is. It seems to have made it through the whole COVID mess with all the businesses that closed. So hopefully, it will continue to sustain. But yeah, it, as far as I know, it has made it. So that's good news. But
well, some of the businesses in Nashville that got closed down are taking the government to court for doing it to them.
Oh, yeah. That's happening in a lot of places.
Oh, yeah?
Their lawyers are busy. That is no joke. And, because it was pretty hard on a lot of folks. They didn't have too many options. So, yeah. I don't blame a lot of folks in some of these instances when they let all the big folks stay wide open. So that's a little bit unfair, if you will. But, But we've got a couple of great sponsors tonight, and I do want to get them in because it looks like our guest is on deck, and I definitely want to get our awesome guest onto the show here as soon as I can. But we can't do that before we recognize and thank our awesome sponsors. Tonight, it is a double R. We have got Ren Garcia and Ren Million. So you got a little R&R tonight.
I need some R&R.
R&R tonight, Ren Garcia and Ren Million, and you just heard from Ren Million directly, AKA Anna Maria Salvaggio, who's just featured on the show as a guest. And of course, she does a million things, super talented. But here is her spot. So give us a listen.
Have you hit a wall with your story and you're not sure where it's going anymore? Feeling uninspired? Need a book that doesn't look like it's self-published? Hire a muse with 33 years' experience as an illustrator, writer, and designer. Hi, I'm Ren Million. You can find me everywhere online with a quick search, R-E-N-M-E-L-E-O-N. Thanks for tuning into the Star Chamber.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Ren Million. You are just a super talent in our indie creative community. And so is Ren Garcia from the League of Elders series. And here is the man himself, Ren, bring you a little spot.
Hello, The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes, we are, as I always say. And we're actually on time. I always tell our guests call in about 15 minutes after the hour, and we are right at that minute time, so we're actually not running behind for a change. That's good. And tonight we have a great guest that I know Holly and I are very excited to have aboard because he has been a great part of the Imaginarium Convention. She's a super talented editor, worked with a number of presses, including our friends at Hydra Publications, of course, and others. And she's also herself a very talented author. And so tonight, Daniel, Holly, and myself are looking forward to conversing with and welcoming to the Star Chamber Show for the very first time, Jen Selinsky. You are on the show.
Hello?
There you are.
Hello, Jen. Is that you?
Jen?
Hello, Jen?
I can't hear her.
Uh-oh, hold on. I've got the mic is on. Hold on here. Let's see here. Try it again. Turn it off and on. Jen, is that you?
This is me.
Oh, there she is. Okay.
How are you doing? Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. This is so exciting.
No problem. Well, a little exciting tech adventure at the beginning. The
right.
interface said that your mic was on and we didn't hear you. So, hey, it creates more suspense for the audience and they get
That's
more excited.
Right.
and then, whoa, here you are. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was so great to talk to you again. And
no, absolutely. And some of your some of the people that you know well are already lurking in the chat room. And I know you know from Imaginarium, Sandy Lender and Tommy B. Smith.
That's,
and
oh, yeah.
Kenzie Michaels. And then, of course, the amazing Clayton Barnett, who you've not met yet, and who's a superb writer who is also lurking in the chat room. So, yeah, you may get some good comments and questions tonight from the audience as well. So
that sounds great. I really appreciate this. Thank you so much. And is there anything you want to talk about?
She heard who was going to be hosting tonight, and everybody, she just said, no, I'm not doing this.
No, I wouldn't do that to you after what you've done for me.
Well, I tricked her. I said that Joe Rogan was going to be hosting tonight, and you know, she got really excited, and it's the three of us, you know.
I'm always excited to talk to you guys.
Yeah, yeah, but he probably has a couple more listeners than we do. I'm sure we're, you know, not far behind him, but. You know, if we made a deal with Spotify, we'd make about $150. You know, his deal with Spotify was worth a billion or something, but so, not too different. But we are here. And first of all, we could talk about a number of things with you because you, of course, work as a pro editor. And then, of course, you are yourself an author. But I think let's go from the writing part of it first, just so the audience can hear a little from you. Tell us about your writing. How would you describe yourself as a writer, genre-wise? And you know, maybe talk a little bit about maybe a couple of your work, so then get a sense
I started off doing poetry when I was about 15 years old. I actually wrote a few short stories when I was 12. Unfortunately, I've lost them over time. Every time I visit my parents' house, I always try to look for them, and I can't find them. But I started off with poetry, and throughout my high school years, I probably wrote a few hundred, maybe 400 to 500 poems, and I keep increasing every year. In 2001, I had my first published book, Opening the Doors, which is still available on Amazon. And after that, a year later, I published another, and now I'm a hybrid author, which means I have both traditional published titles and self-published titles. I'm also two of the people for whom I write are Pennant Publications and Perbiostat Publications, and Tony is also in the works of doing one of my poetry books for Hydra, which is really exciting. And after that, I just decided, after poetry, I started with novellas, short stories, novels, and I've now branched into children's books, even cookbooks, and I don't even cook that much. I don't really describe myself as a genre writer because I like to do as much as possible if I can. But people know me mostly as a poet since most of my majority, probably about 70% of mine are poetry books or multi-genre books that have poems in them. But
very
cool. I still enjoy that. It's difficult after I've written so many to write more, so I'm trying to concentrate. I just sent a few novels to one of my publishers, and they'll be starting on those soon, which is great. One of them is a republication of an older novel, which I think will be better in their hands. So I'm really excited they took it on.
Excellent, excellent. And you mentioned some definite people that we know well. I mean, of course, we love the gang at Per Bastet. They're always near and dear to our hearts, and Hydra Publications, of course, with Rascal Tony. Yeah, that Rascal Tony. You know, he sits back with one of the best bourbon cabinets in the state of Kentucky. But yeah,
I'm curious if
he's quite a character.
I'm actually on here listening right now. I sent the announcement. I wonder if he's actually saw my name on there listening.
Yeah, he probably will. But be forewarned. Yeah, you may get a call in from a Rupert who sounds suspiciously like Tony. It's happened more than once on the show. I'm just forewarning you, yeah. If that happens, if a gentleman named Rupert comes in that sounds like Tony, you'll have to be very suspicious.
All right, well, thank you for the heads up.
But he's a lot of fun. I just touched base with him just the other day on some stuff. But, yeah, great guy and good part of the community here for sure. But, yeah, you're definitely in some good hands. And you're you did say what's a magic word for Holly, I know, and I know she wants to dive in on that. You said cookbook.
Those are a few self-published titles. Is there a certain – do you want me to describe a few of those, or do you want to just tell me? Basically, they're self-published or on Amazon. The first one, which I did them kind of out of order, and it's desserts and drinks. So a lot of people, that's my most popular one. When I go to book signings, people love desserts, and that's what they usually buy first. And that has the most recipes. A lot of the recipes came from my mother, my great aunt, my mother-in-law, and a few family friends. And I wanted to do a challenge. That was one of my bucket list challenges. And people who know me well, my poor husband especially, knows I'm not much of a cook, and I don't like to cook, but that was just something I wanted to challenge myself to do. Originally, they're going to all be one part of one book, which I'm going to fix again on Amazon. But right now I have the drinks and the desserts one, the appetizers, and the side dishes and entrees. But like I said, by far, the dessert one's the most popular. And I have some, you know, good family recipes that didn't want to go to waste and things like that that I thought people would like. Even my friend from Australia sent me some. I had to convert the units to English American units, but she sent me a few recipes that are popular over there as well.
Wow.
Well,
that's enjoyable, yeah.
I didn't realize you did those. I had no idea. I did get one of your children's books.
I think
was it you? Yes, that was it, because
yeah,
I gave it to Raven for Christmas, and yeah, she loved
that's
it.
That's right.
She
I'm so glad to hear that, and I want to thank you for giving me my first book award. That just made my whole, really my whole year, so...
Yeah,
I appreciate
really
that. But yeah, I do have those cookbooks, and for people like just the one and all, I'm going to format that. Pretty much my Amazon page is all up to date, so I have a one-stop shop now. I'm going to include that, you know, like a one and all cookbook for people who want the whole thing rather than just different sections. I also have a couple other things I'm planning on doing too.
Very cool.
I like that you're well-rounded. You're not just, you know, doing one genre. You're trying a handful, and that's great. I think it's great when authors, you know, step out of the box and you know, do something different, not just stay in one genre. I think that's neat. It helps you grow and learn as a writer.
And I thoroughly enjoy that. Before everyone said, oh, the Jen the poet or Jen, or even nowadays children's books or even my tailoring books for both kids and adults, but I like to tell them I dabble in everything that I can. And there are a few genres I haven't tried yet, but I'm going to try one day.
So, in other words, you are always a genesis of new ideas. Spelled
Genesis. I was hoping you'd bring that up. As some of you may or may not know, when you see my posts on Facebook or on Twitter, I'm obsessed with Genesis, especially Peter Gabriel and Steve Hackett, the latter of whom I've worked with, and I haven't had the privilege to meet, but we constantly email each other, and he's been very kind to help us with our book. We're doing a book called Behind the Lines, Behind Every Genesis Song, and I've interviewed him several times, and my husband will be his first work, so he's excited too. But that'll be out in the next year or so.
Well, I had to bring that up a little bit because I know you are a big Genesis fan. Something I also am gonna get. I've got several of their titles on vinyl, which, as everybody knows, it's the bands I love the most. I get on vinyl. So
that's great. That's, hey, all right.
Including the Peter Gabriel era too. I love that era, and I love all the eras of Genesis. But yeah, that is awesome.
Good.
We get to hear that you. You got to actually do a project with them. And I don't know what I'd be able to handle myself if I ever did a project with like Kiss or back, you know, when Rush was going with Rush or something
never,
like that. Yeah.
I never thought that would happen. So far it's Steve, but Steve is very, very close between Peter and Steve as to who my favorite, but I've actually gotten to work with Steve. I'm even friends on Facebook with Richard McPhail, the roadie. I'm trying to get him to give his input in the book as well. So he has his own book.
Oh,
which,
oh, yeah. Roadies will have the best stories, too. Roadies always have the best stories.
Oh, they do.
That's the best story.
But, yeah, he's also available online. You can buy it. I think he still has copies of his book for sale. And that's really excellent. So if you're curious, that might be on Amazon, too. But, yeah. And years ago, I wrote a book about Duran Duran off Sandy Lender. If she's listening, she's a big fan. She actually purchased the copy. And
oh, God, she loves Duran Duran.
I'm trying to get some photographs.
Yeah, she just perked up, I bet.
She's extremely talented, and I mean, it would take a lot of patience for me to write a novel that size. I started off with my first novel, which is called Springtime in London. It's a rock and roll romance. You know me, I love the 70s and classic rock, so that's the one that's being republished with Pennant Publications, and I can't wait for that.
Nice. Nice. Yeah, Sandy's got a quick reflex when it comes to Duran Duran. Sorry for the bad fun, folks, but there you go.
And I've written a couple other little things, like poetry books inspired by them, and I actually have a whole blog dedicated to Genesis, but I've been kind of lax lately, so I've been so busy with, which is great, with all my new clients. I just got recently promoted to the senior editor for Pennant Publications.
Mm-hmm.
And the folks at Write Your Best Book, Christina Kay, have I'm in the process of my internship, so I just started with them, too.
Cool.
So I'll get to
edit
for them as well.
Yeah, Christina has been a guest on the show, and encourage you all to look up that show in our archive if you have not.
I definitely will. Yeah,
if not
thank
familiar
you
with Christina before, but she's a great talent, and also one that we met through the convention world. And yeah, you got a lot of common ties, definitely. But yeah, I think it's unfortunate a lot of people have not gotten to meet you yet, and. And I know you're at the conventions and you've been, you know, participating as a panelist, but I always get the sense that a lot of people don't realize how much stuff you do behind the scenes. I mean, it's impressive.
Well, I appreciate
it. Writing, editing, everything else. Yeah,
and I just started ghostwriting too.
the writing gig that actually pays. Yeah, the writing that actually makes money on ghostwriting.
That's right. So I have a few individual clients, and all my publishers are like Tony, Debbie, they're recommending people for me, which is great because I got two or three referrals so far. And one of my local libraries, I have a friend who works at Jeffersonville Public Library in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and she gets me tons of clients, which is great. So I can just meet with them and I help them with their works. I'm kind of like an author coach, so to speak, as well as an editor, ghostwriter. One had questions about my contract, and he said, "Well, you're cheaper than seeing a lawyer," so that was good. I could help him out in that respect.
That's awesome, and hopefully, like I said, I'm guessing that you're doing full-time book work. Is that right?
Not yet. Or, I'm really, 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 really hoping that'll be soon, but I do have a part-time job. I'm on vacation the next 2 weeks, so I'm trying to, catch up as much as possible on my assignments and take on new assignments.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, it seems like everybody's been, or at least everybody but Sandy Lender just about, has been on an extended vacation through all this pandemic mess and all the shutdowns and stuff. But hopefully that hasn't impinged too much, at least on your freelance work. I hope you have been able to keep up.
Not too much. The only thing is I can't really physically meet clients. Some I haven't met in person. I just converse with via email. And I have one that I'm going to brave. I want one that I'm going to brave out. One of my nearest and dearest friends, and I'll say her name, and she won't mind, Mary Ann Netherton, whose husband is also a writer, and I edit for her. And I'm going to meet her probably Friday. She has another book for me to look at for her. So she's one I've been trying to help for years. And I got her with Pennant Publications, and I got her started up, and she has right now about 14 children's books in the works.
Nice.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, you're excited about the world of children's books. We're learning more by the day, and we have a great person debuting with us,
Victor Anacker. I saw that.
Yeah.
So I might have to submit one. If you're interested, I might have to submit one to you sometime.
Ah, very cool. Very cool. Yeah, that's a world that I'm excited about, because I think that's a very positive genre, and I mean it's very upbeat for them, and yeah, it can do a lot of good, and definitely get kids interested in reading, which is sorely needed in this video game age. It's a good thing. So yeah. And
yeah,
but yeah,
especially all the technology. I have a little book about. As parents who want their kids to go outside and play, instead of doing that, they want to play with their phones and their tablets, but they literally take the tablets out of their hands and they have the kids go outside and they play together as a family. So that one will be coming out hopefully in a few months.
Very cool. Very cool. What are the themes of your children's books? I'm curious. Maybe Holly knows more than I do, but I'm just asking for myself.
Mostly,
what's your what kind of theme do you explore?
One is about self-esteem, which is why You Are You is so popular. Actually, the first thought of it years ago, I see all these books. I'm not putting them down, but I see all these books with I want to be such and such when I grow up, or Jimmy is a cop, Donna is a cook. You know, you're not you because of your job, or you because of you. Your features, your beliefs, your clothing, everything from that. It's not because, you know, a person's occupation, no matter how much they love it, doesn't define them completely. And then I just wanted to be a book about self-esteem and self-image, which, you know, people struggle with a lot today.
Yeah, I think it's even more so because we live in such a visual world and social media and all the nightmares
you know,
that come through
and
there
all these
and toxic
dating sites
climate.
And all that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think self-esteem, I think, yeah, not only for children, but I think increasingly so for even adults is becoming definitely a topic to address. So that's good that, you know, you're targeting that at the young side of the scale. It's not a friendly world when it comes to self-esteem anymore. There's
so much
negativity
to deal with today, and with all the stuff they have to go through school, through bullying and the uncertainties of the pandemic, it makes them feel good about themselves, and also gives people, anyway, my readers, gives them the chance to escape reality, even with a nonfiction story. It's like, go to pre-transport to another place or time and just forget about all their woes.
Because like these days you could put a social media post up it's a beautiful sunny day outside, and then somebody will have something negative to say about that within 10 seconds. I mean, that's kind of the climate we live in.
Keyboard cowboy.
God forbid you don't watch what your kids are doing online. You know, I know parents certain controls on Facebook and stuff, or if they let their kids on them. But God bless, I can't imagine the nightmare of just turning a kid loose on social media today. I mean, that's a whole other ball game. So, yeah, I think children's books have a great place to play, and I definitely encourage you to keep going on that. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm glad it's part of your arsenal.
Some of them have a little
bit
of moral, and like Billy Boggle, there's one, my newest one is Billy Boggle and the Color Changing Crew, which, you know, is encouraging people to eat healthier, which I need to do. I mean, I'm like a hypocrite in that respect, but you can talk about how the fruit changes color, and as soon as people start eating it again, it goes back to normal. And I have a follow-up one about vegetables, and a lot of them are just things, stories about, I love animals, especially cats, so a lot of my kids' books and my poetry had to do with cats.
Won 10 points. You just got 10 bonus points.
I wrote one about my mother's cat, Danny. Unfortunately, my father recently passed away last October before Imaginarium, so she has a cat, and he's had him for about 2 years, and so I wrote a little book about him and how much he means to us, and it's going to be called Our Sweet Danny, and it'll be coming out, I'm not sure the date, but the illustrations look amazing, and I can't wait for it.
I got a great plot that combines it all for you. You can do a book called Albert and Vicky Watch Stephen and Holly Grow a Salad, and it'll be all about how Holly and Stephen grew organic salad and cherry tomatoes, and how these two cats watched us put it in a seed and grow it and then eat it at the table, which actually just happened.
So cute.
It's based
like
on a true story.
Cute.
Yeah. Aww. Riveting tale, adventure, you know, action, everything. And, we'll give you that free plot right there. You can sell a million copies.
That's right.
Copies,
you can use that
sure.
for your new imprint, so that I'll get more personal for your new imprint.
That'd be awesome. No, just yeah. I think it's, yeah. What your theme? I'm just joking a little bit. I love cats, of course, but yeah, your theme on eating healthier. That definitely rings a bell here because yeah, Holly and I have returned to gardening this year. So we have a full salad the other night that was grown from our garden. So it was fantastic. I mean, there's just a different different quality. I mean, you can taste the difference when you pick it right from the garden versus, you know, just getting it off the grocery store shelf. But yeah, there is a difference. There's no question.
Yeah, there definitely
Holly, I know, feel strongly about that. But that's cool. That is cool. And not to disparage the cat themes. I mean, yeah, anything with cats is definitely gold.
Definitely. But I also have, I have a dog one. I might do another dog one. I've never had a pet dog, but this is a little bit about a runaway dog and it's a little cute little twist at the end. It's called a Runaway Choo Choo. And I have one about a little bunny, which is my first one. My mother's favorite. It's called Bunny Song, about a bored bunny who writes a song about all his friends and he sings it for them. So that one's a popular seller as well. And I have one about a squirrel. So I do a lot of animal books, because I love animals.
Well, you know, you can take New Zealand and you can take New Zealand and Australia by storm if you do a wombat one. Giving you a little
throwing
you a little look. Yeah,
wombats.
I have long said that wombats are the future. They are adorable. So they are amazing. I looked into it, and they're not legal to have or import in the United States. I actually did look.
No,
because I wanted one. I have to admit, I want to look into seeing if you could actually have one. You know, but it's a little complicated.
Yeah, because
a little complicated.
Yeah. They don't belong in the house.
One of my ex-boyfriends had an uncle who illegally kept a coyote. It's just a little coyote, and she kept her in his yard. It wasn't anything cruel, but it's just surprising that they got away with that. But and I guess she escaped one day and never came back. But that was pretty interesting. And all the illegal animals makes you think of the Tiger King, which I'm sure people have watched, especially during the quarantine.
Of course we watched.
Oh, yeah. I have to admit, it was a guilty pleasure of ridiculousness. And yeah, we did watch those during our lockdown when Holly and I were pretty much imprisoned in our house when we both got COVID. So, yeah,
I'm glad you recovered at that
point.
I'm glad you recovered.
Yeah, for sure.
That sounds like an ordeal.
Everybody was bunkered down. I think everybody did watch that show. I think it's the most watched documentary series of all time. I think by far.
I wouldn't be surprised. And they had the follow-up. My husband joked that it was the quintessential pandemic show. We actually went through it twice. So,
yep.
Just because I like cats, and it was interesting.
We talked about going and watching it again.
Yeah, I thought about watching it again. But, we definitely are not planning to get tigers. Don't worry. We're not that crazy.
As much as I adore them, that would be too dangerous even for me.
I love cats, but I'm going to draw the line at Albert and Vicky because they're enough of a handful. It's these two tuxedo cats that we have. There are tigers. But
they have the whole air of royalty like most cats seem to.
They do. And would you believe it, Holly actually found a custom T-shirt for me, recognizing me as their cat dad, and actually put Albert, their names on it, and had two little tuxedo cats on the graphic and everything. Awesome little birthday present. I'll have to wear that, take a picture of it and put it on Facebook sometime. But, yeah, it was a heck of a little surprise gift. But,
that's so cute.
I was sitting here wanting to open it so bad. I had to wait. I was like, oh, I want him to open it so bad because I couldn't wait to see him cry. You know, I knew he was going to cry. But, yeah.
Aww.
He loved
it. Definitely I would do.
Okay.
You know, I get excited about giving a gift to someone. It's like, I don't know whom to open it. Like, what I did with my husband. I got him years ago, one of those little Build-A-Bears with Superman because he loves Superman. And I'm just waiting.
Aww.
It was hard for me to keep the secret. This is back when we first started dating.
I know.
So I was like, we had to wait till his birthday to open it.
Holly gets like that too, and I know she loves the fact that she knows where my sentimental buttons are. She loves to do whatever it is that triggers me into just being sentimental. So she's merciless.
I think it's cute.
But
that's very hard to make me, you know, tear up. But yeah, yeah. Stephen, it's really easy. I know how to do it.
Oh, it's definitely an art that she has, but it was nice. As far as Tiger King and all that stuff goes, I mean, yeah, it's a crazy show, and definitely not talking about good things, but it was so bizarre.
No,
I mean, you couldn't help but laugh a little bit. But I do think it's horrific that Carol Baskins ended up getting control of his
yeah,
zoo,
that's,
you know?
Awful.
I was like, no
yeah,
way,
was,
no way.
He was absolutely devastated. Like, you know, which he,
yeah.
I can understand his reasoning for that, because they're pretty much arch nemesis rivals.
I know. I felt bad for him.
And he single-handedly brought the mullet back into fashion. I mean, he did, you know, that. I've seen people with mullets again now in public. It's,
he,
yeah, ever
he was
since
definitely
that,
rocking
that
it
series.
The whole time.
Yeah. So, yeah, the mullet is back, thanks to Joe Exotic there. But so he's made a positive contribution, because I do – it always brings me a smile when I see somebody with a mullet. It always brings a smile to my face. So
there you go.
I guess it's a good thing. In a year of – a very strange year, I guess that's a slight positive in some weird way. And oh, man. So, hey, we've talked about mullets and wombats, and, I mean, we are covering a lot of ground,
Jen.
That's
a wide range for all your listeners there. That's a good – people can't say they're bored with this now.
No, we are here to entertain tonight. And, Daniel, do you have anything strange and exotic to comment on yet?
I do, but I have a couple of questions for him first that, you know, all actually
right.
Are writing
sure.
And stuff.
Well, yes, we're going to get plenty of time.
Do you have any of your books in audio? And if not, have you thought about doing it? Which ones would you want to put in audio?
Probably. I haven't. My publisher did mention, Debit Planet Publications has mentioned that. And that's something I would be interested in. And I know that the children's books would probably be easiest to go first. So I'm not much of a narrator, but they probably will hire, you know, someone to do the narrations. Most authors have, you know, like radio personnel or voices do their books, but that would be something I would be definitely interested in one day. And so that's with not just with Debbie, but with Perbas, Ted, or Hydra, or whoever else I publish with.
Mm-hmm.
So that is
very
something
cool.
That, you know, that's always a rising. There's always a popular market for that, especially with streaming, and people go to commute. They work, they listen to audiobooks and things like that.
Yeah.
But that is something I'm open to.
And it's not saturated, Jen.
That don't read, but they will listen to a book.
True.
Yes, there are definitely a lot of people that, you know, feel like they don't have the time or the effort. And, you know, you're still extrapolating knowledge either way. So it does, you know, it counts as reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most definitely. But yeah, it's not a flooded market. Yeah, it's definitely not oversaturated like the ebook and print markets tend to be these days. But that's another attribute of audiobooks. It's I think it's helpful.
Definitely, I think
yeah,
it's a great addition, especially with people with failing visions and vision problems.
Right.
And like I said, you know, it'd be easier to do that than try to read or strain your eyes or something like that that make you feel worse.
Then when you have a voice like Daniel's where it's perfect for narrating your own book, then you got it made. Unfortunately, that's not my situation, but yeah, Daniel's Daniel can narrate his own. You can listening to him read is a delight. So yeah, I know it would work.
That's always a good, you got to start somewhere.
While he's sitting in his trolley, maybe recording it.
There you go.
This would not be a advantageous place to do an audiobook.
Probably not. Unless you soundproofed it. An audio studio trolley. But no, it probably wouldn't for its current incarnation.
With all the cars going by and the fans blowing in here and different things like that right now, it would be very... You'd have too many distractions in the background, and no audio book publisher would pick it up. They'd send and go, nope.
Acoustics are good, yeah.
Yeah, you get flagged at ACX because they are strict on stuff like that. Yeah, they definitely check your stuff before they put it on the market, which is good because that means that when people buy audiobooks on that market, they're confident that it's going to have a certain quality standard. It's kind of like when you buy bourbon, you know, it has a certain standard. So, yeah,
same thing
with ACX.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, they have the best narrators.
Right.
You know, like I said, it's a rising market, becoming more popular. And the better the narrator, the better, you know, the probability someone will listen to it or be interested
right.
in that series in general.
So,
I
with
have
you
a,
being
I
so.
A couple,
go,
Steven,
go ahead, Collie.
I have a couple. Off the wall questions here. Odd questions.
Definitely.
Do you find yourself writing like your children's characters, your squirrels, or your just cats, or any kind of animals? Do you find that you use characteristics of real people, like people you know in those animals?
I haven't done that yet. I usually create, you know, my own personas, but that a lot of people do that with their, even with their fiction, but that's something I haven't tried yet. I have a couple of fictionalized versions of Travis, but those are for my adult books, and the only ones I base, you know, the ones that are about the real cats, like Danny and Ashley and Boots and Allie. Also another book called Tales of Boots and Allie. These are based on the cats and their real personalities, and that's a good question. That's nothing I've really done, at least with my children's books yet. That's something to consider. Within reason.
I know a lot of people do. That's why I was asking. A lot of people
do. Good question. But yeah, I never. It's funny. I never thought of that. But now I'm my next one will be thinking of it.
Now you'll be thinking about it. I'm probably asking this question. Do what?
What age children's books do you write?
Mostly, I do read-alongs, which is the one I just mentioned. It's the snow day one where the family goes out and plays in the snow. That's probably, there are picture books and the Ashley book and the Danny book for an older audience, like from maybe upper elementary to middle school. And I have the very basic one, Animals and Me, A to Z, is probably about 2 to 3 year olds for, you know, more pictures and less words. But my average children's picture book between maybe 4 and 7. And then I have a couple young adult things and little, like, novels I'm going to start working on eventually. But on average, they're for younger, maybe preschool, kindergarten age,
well,
depending
you
on their
nice.
Level.
You said that you want to try different genres. Have you tried horror?
Not yet. That's what I want to try. I haven't tried horror. I haven't tried mystery. I've done some sci-fi and dystopia. I've started a few of those are being published. And I would like to do a teleplay or screenplay sometime, just because it sounds so interesting. I'm actually editing a screenplay, so it might give me an idea of structure, how to structure one, if I ever do try that endeavor.
Well,
but,
you know, if you decide that you want a horror book that, you know, you can get published, Holly will probably publish your vampire book as soon as you get it written, so.
All right.
She loves my vampires.
She loves her vampires.
Good. That's good to know in case I ever do. I haven't considered it. I haven't gotten to it yet. But
there
that's
you go.
I'd love to, you know, work with you more and maybe publish with you someday.
I'd love to be a vampire. I'm a closet vampire for sure.
But that's still very popular right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then Jen and I can co-write a Amish science fiction novel and knock that off our mutual bucket list. That Amish science fiction is a very obscure genre, of course. But you
it
know,
is.
We'll
I don't think
have,
I've heard
we'll
of that before, but it sounds interesting. I've written Christian fiction, but not an Amish. I've written, you know, the modern day, not Amish, but just regular Christian fiction. But that is something to consider. Another thing, maybe one
day. They keep telling me I should do that.
Everybody in the chat room knows I always bring up Amish science fiction or something like that. So.
That's pretty interesting. I like that.
So,
that's something to pontificate
that
on.
Was a Christian fiction? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I did a couple of those, but they're not with the Amish or anything like that. I know there's a popular genre, like Shelley Shepherd Gray. I met her a few years ago at a book signing, which was nice, and people like Karen Kingsbury and maybe Gilbert Morris. I've read some of their works, but I haven't started. You know, my Christian fiction is just modern-day basic. You know, it's not anything with the Amish or anything, you know, with olden times like some of the other ones.
So your Genesis book and stuff like that?
Yeah, that's one. I've been dragging. This is going to sound terrible, but I'm dragging my feet because I'm trying to figure out how many more resources. I've done the first draft. I included every song in the band's catalog, even the rare demos, even the
wow.
You know, little things I found on YouTube. And I've worked with Steve, and I got permission from Steve to use some of his. Since quarantine, he's been posting videos on Twitter and YouTube, so he gave me permission to quote some of those directly for the book. And
oh, that's
really
awesome.
I'm excited about it. So
that's the first book of the Bible, so I figured it was a religious book.
That's right.
Not this one, but I've also written a couple other things. I have, like I said earlier, a blog dedicated to them. I have a book dedicated to both Peter and Steve, and I think I have another one. I'm going to compile a couple of short stories and Genesis poems that aren't published yet and some that are published, you know, just so I can get a wider audience.
So,
but, yeah.
Now here's the question, though. With all these different types of projects, what is your process like? What do you decide to work on a given day as a writer? And when do you write versus when you do your editing work and things like that? How do you balance? Do you have a
system
because
I don't
that?
Have a set pattern. Whenever I'm awake, I get up, I start writing or editing. I have my projects on my desktop that I'm working on. And when I get bored with something else, sometimes I think I have attention deficit disorder because I can't do just one project. I have to, when I was reading more, I had to read several books at once, and I have to work on several books at once. I worked on, just two today, the screenplay, two of the books I have that Debbie gave me to edit. And so I got sick of one. I switched back to the other, and, it gives me something to do if I get bored with one particular work. And
mm-hmm.
That way, it's just it's weird. I just don't have a set day or anything. I guess it's just easier to do as it comes along. It seems to work better at night, though.
And it looks like Clayton backs you up in the chat room. He says Jen is correct. Try something different every time if you can. So yeah, he likes your multifaceted approach. That's awesome.
That's great.
Just
yeah,
do you have
favorite
music, Jen, that you listen to or anything when you write?
I do, actually. I have several books which are written. Some of my favorite classical. That's my second favorite genre is classical and opera. And I didn't attribute it to any single artist where I do. I have several books about other bands, like Deep Purple, The Doors, Duran Duran, The Beatles, just to name a few. Thin Lizzy,
Deep
Leonard
Purple,
Skinner,
you say?
Queen.
Queen?
They're ever only books are up on Amazon. I can't name. I have like maybe 20 some bands. I've written books inspired by their music. So if you're ever interested, they'll
my God,
on page.
See, you need to talk to me more about this because you mentioned several bands
no
I
clue.
Adore. Yeah, because I've
awesome.
I'm a huge Deep Purple fan. Love Deep Purple and
Doors.
Of course,
there's a poetry
book
dedicated to them called Child in Time. I just named it after some of my favorite songs. I have one of the Monkees and I have one. A couple novelty bands, a novelty band called The Ruddles, which are a parody of The Beatles. It started with Monty Python and Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
And Brian Perno's Thoughts, which is a Genesis parody. It's really only known much in England, which is so hilarious. If you're a Genesis fan, the show will just make you laugh. So I just published that. And a couple more obscure groups, like the 13 Floor Elevators and The Who was one of them. They're not obscure groups, but I'm trying to remember.
Oh, yeah, The Who's really obscure there. They had
a
great new album too. I have to say, they had their last studio album just came out not too long ago. It was really good. I was surprised. It was a lot better than Endless Wire, in my opinion. But,
yeah,
a lot of other
that
people
one. Feel
so too.
That listened, but I heard about the new one. Let's see, Aerosmith. That's one. Let's see.
There's
also an American band, which people don't really know. American band, right before the English band got started. I'm friends with the surviving members. In fact, the one member who's deceased,
cool.
Ken Henry. He was in Steppenwolf after he left the American version of Genesis. So I'm friends with them, and I've written books about them, too.
Okay,
nice.
Here's your mission. I want you to go after a book on Ace Frehley, as a kid, was my iconic figure, in music. And go for it, Jen. Do a book on Ace Frehley, and I will be forever grateful to you.
I don't
know what you're... I'll have to learn more about them first. Like with the Leonard Skinner, I had to do a little research.
I
did a couple.
I'm a lifelong Kiss fan, so yeah, I'll definitely be a resource for you. But Deep Purple, that is fantastic. And I will definitely check that out. And Queen is like sacred to Holly, so I know she's going to be investigating that immediately. So
yeah, those are available in ebook as well. Let's see. Mm-hmm. All right, the one unpublished one I have so far is it's going to be called Castle Walls, and it's short stories and poems based on Styx music, which I just got myself into some earlier this year. So if you're a Styx fan, it'll be coming out
too.
Soon.
Yeah, good timing. They got a new studio album coming out pretty soon too, I think.
Awesome.
So that's good news. But yeah, I'm glad you're busy.
I got a question.
With that music background and all these different names you hear and stuff, how do you go about selecting your names for your characters? Do you create them, or do you select them specific to their characteristics?
I do pretty much create them. Like for my springtime in London, I was trying to look for my female protagonist's name. And I couldn't think of one, so I looked at one of my coworkers. She doesn't work there where I work anymore, but her name is Kate. So I said, okay, I'll name the girl Kate. And some of them I'll give, like, variations of names from some of my favorite musicians or authors, things like that. So,
neat.
Like one of the characters is named Russell, at the Russell brand in that one. And just a couple of little references here and there. So there's...
Good God, you have so much in common with Holly right now. Yeah, she's a huge Russell brand fan. So he's always playing his podcasts and whatnot. Yeah. So
there you go. And he's written quite a few books himself. I've read a few, but it's been a while since I've actually sit down and read any more.
He's quite he's wonderful to listen to. He's very inspiring.
That's what I've been hearing. And he has a couple new ones out. I'm not sure what the title was. The bookie book. I read the bookie book one too. And he has several others I haven't checked out yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I have to say though, his funnest interview that I ever saw was when he interviewed Morrissey. Oh my God, the two personalities, just Morrissey and Russell Brand, very, very different people, and it was just so cool when they meshed. It was one of the coolest interviews I've ever seen. It's on. I know you can probably find it on YouTube pretty easy, but yeah, that was one I definitely recommend if you haven't seen that yet, Jen. That was hilarious. I mean, a lot of witty British.
Take a look at that.
Good Brit. If you like British humor, it's filled with it.
Oh, I do. My favorite show, Red Dwarf, is one of my Red Dwarf, Blackadder, of course, Brian Pern. I'm trying to think of some other ones. Love Monty. My husband and I both love English humor. We're both self-proclaimed Anglophiles. Monty Python, of course, and I'm trying to think of some other ones. There's a whole bunch.
Can't
there's
go
just
wrong.
A few I mentioned, but. Black
yeah, those two, really. Those two together were magic as far as interviews go. And Russell, was
I'm not as familiar with it, but he absolutely loves Doctor Who, and I like what I've seen, mm-hmm. but I'm not as familiar with it as I am like Red Dwarf or Blackadder or Keeping Up Appearances, the other ones we watch. But yeah, we love
need to get
English
the author. We'll have to have Catherine Sullivan, great author in the indie community, and she's been a few Imaginariums. We'll have to get her to call in as our Doctor Who expert, because she is the Doctor Who encyclopedia. I mean, she definitely is.
Oh, wow.
Is, but yeah, we'll have to get her on the show sometime. But yeah, you're right. I mean, British humor is just I love it, and I hope that everybody's getting so worried about saying anything that offends anybody these days that I'm concerned that all humor is going to go out the window. So I'm gonna hang on to my Monty Python DVDs and treasure them.
Because it's so subjective.
Yeah, I don't know how much. Yeah, everybody's so worried and scared to say, I mean, because everybody, of course, jumps at everything.
Especially now.
But yeah, so it's a British humor. Yeah, definitely. If you get stock up on your DVDs, folks, because they can't delete those. You own them. So
there you
good
go.
Stuff, especially on Monty Python. But oh man,
that's
but
one
yeah,
of our favorites.
God, I'm gonna have to get my credit card out and buy a bunch of Jen Selinsky titles here because good God, I like your children's books
fun.
Ideas. I like your man.
Thank you. But it's funny, I keep telling people I don't have an off switch, and my husband's like, he's perplexed. He goes, how can you keep track of all your clients and your shows and your books and your publishers? So I just do. My mother, him and my mother both are just floored by that.
It's your cats. So. You trained them, didn't you? Your cats, they're your office assistants, and you've trained them.
That's right.
I know how it works. That's how it goes here. Our cats are our office assistants, and they do a good job. But Now let's bump up to your novel writing, though, because we've talked about poetry, children's books, and all kinds of things, and your music books. But as far as your novel length stuff, tell us a little bit. Let's explore that a little bit.
Sure. My very first one, I want to say that only, depending on who is speaking with the genre, my only real novel, which is over 50,000 words, is Springtime in London. It's probably about between 80,000 and 90,000 words, which is being republished by Pennant Publications. But my very first one, and the other two, I consider novellas because they're a bit shorter in length. I started this first one in high school back in 1995. It's called Madness. It takes place in England right during the time of the right after they lost the American Revolution. And that's just a minor part of the plot, but about a rich woman whose supposedly dead fiancé comes back to try to claim his prize, meaning her and her vast fortune. And, you know, there's a little bit of a love triangle and other things involved. And I finished it in 2008, right before I wanted to have one novel before I turned 30, so I did it earlier on that year. That was my first one. And the second one was supposed to be based on my great-grandmother's real journal, which is really popular. My great-grandmother in 1910 went to Europe, and I still have the original journal, so I typed it up, added photographs and things that came with it. And the second one, The Year in the Life of Emily Jones, was made to look real, was actually fictional. And I actually had my cousin-in-law reading part of it. I said, was this a real story? Did you make it up? So, no, I made that all up. And my Christian fiction one, Forgiveness Lies Beyond, it is kind of based, I won't go into details, but it's kind of based on family events a little bit. That's all I'll say about that. But that one came third, mm-hmm. and Springtime in London was my fourth and longest one to date. And I have the companion piece called Summer of 72, which is a spin, you know, about her cousin and his, you know, his meeting a girl and, you know, things like that. So that'll be coming out
very
hopefully
cool.
in a few months. I just got to do the second draft and send it to my publisher.
Very nice, very nice.
So I don't have the attention span, but I have several. I think I have 10 or 11 novels that I've started and barely, the only one I have the rough draft of is one I'm getting ready to come out soon. It's not really even novel length. It's more like a companion. And I have a few novellas that are available for, let's see, like science fiction, dystopia, young adult, that are on Amazon as well. And these are just maybe 30 to 60 pages of some with chapters, some without chapters, and I have a lot of mixed genre, include poetry, short stories, and I have a book of quotes, nothing but quotes. So I thought that would be interesting, you know, and a little fun project to undertake some of my quotes I've made up over the years. And
that's cool. And I think it's refreshing to hear a writer like you talk about this, because I think a lot of writers get kind of comfortable just doing, like, one genre or maybe a couple. And they often are a little hesitant to try other things. And it's so cool to see a writer that's on the other end of that kind of a spectrum who, you know, goes full tilt toward anything that attracts you genre-wise or story-wise or, you know, even format-wise. I mean, you know, poetry, children's books, novels, et cetera. So, I mean, that is cool. That is awesome. And does that help you avoid writer's block? Because I know we all have our techniques, all us writers.
Unfortunately, that still happens. And when that happens, I go back to my editing. And the ghostwriting is a little bit more difficult because that seems to be harder because I just started out because I've only done – well, I've done a couple of books that I consider semi-ghostwritten for one of my publishers, and I just finished my first full-written ghostwritten book, nonfiction, for a client that Pennant Publications recommended. But when I get writer's block, I've said it a million times, I've gotten so frustrated. There are days where I'll pull up my hair. In fact, one of you said you liked Queen. I wrote a parody to Bohemian Rhapsody called Author Rhapsody.
No, that's my favorite song of all time.
So if I have I can email it to you guys or send it through Facebook if you wanted to read it. But this is talking about my woes and all the stuff to the tune of the Queen song. But when it happens, I managed to bounce back. Over the years, I probably told my husband, I get so frustrated. I'm quitting. I'm no more writing. I'm done. And that's like maybe 10 times I've told him the last 15 years, and that never happened. And I don't think it will. But when I get writer's block, I always try to do something else. I'll exercise for a little bit or you know, try to clean up the house or something like that.
Nice.
Or
nice.
Watch my favorite. I have a whole bunch of YouTube channels of funny things. Like, I don't know if you're familiar with the new, you know, a bunch of these, like, people make fun of video games, bad movies and stuff. I watch a lot of those. They're pretty funny.
Oh, yeah.
So if I get
Holly's
bored,
big
I'll
on
watch,
the YouTube
like,
side of things.
I don't know,
yeah,
like
Holly knows YouTube shows. But
like Angry
I'm
Video
catching
Game
up.
Nerd and Good Mythical Morning. I actually submitted, I don't know if you've heard of that, Good Mythical Morning. That's real popular.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a contest to see for someone to guest write the show. I don't think I won, but I did submit an entry a couple, I think it was around about a month ago, so I thought that'd be fun to try it. What could I lose? So, you know,
right,
channels
right.
like that. And,
wow, that was
that's
cool.
That's what I do. I get bored and I watch all these neat things, and then what happens is when I'm in the middle of something, I have to tear myself away from Facebook, and that's why I've been on my hiatus so I can catch up and, you know, get my storefront ready and do this radio show and catch up with some of my editing products too. You know, so
very nice.
That's why I post a lot of links to music videos. Keep you entertained.
Yes.
So I don't have much to say until I'm done with everything.
yeah, I have noticed you post a lot of great music. That is an absolute.
Oh.
I can confirm that.
All
but,
right, thanks. A lot of people are like, "Why are you listening?" They keep saying, "Why are you listening to this geezer music?" I'm like, "It's good stuff. You gotta give it a try."
Yeah, people actually played their instruments that didn't have auto tune. They actually
mm-hmm,
sang.
Exactly.
They actually played. They didn't just pop. They didn't just correct everything in the computer. Yeah, as far as
that's
digitally,
right.
I mean it's. Yeah, no, that was real. That was,
well,
and,
no,
there,
well,
and there's
I don't
a soul.
Want to knock them,
right,
but, yeah, I don't want to knock them, but I heard, I forget their names, but I actually wrote a poem about them. The two men, there's two men who are responsible for, you know, pretty much ghostwriting most of today's hits. I did a little expose on them. I forget their names, but I think I saw a while back they mentioned them on YouTube and, you know, try to keep their identity secret and everything, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. Well, ghostwriting is an interesting area. I mean, it's definitely the best paying writing gigs out there. There's no question about that.
Oh,
one of my friends just got his first ghostwriting gig, and he's ecstatic. He's actually getting paid like real money. He had to do a writing project, and he's over the
moon.
That's great. One of the friends that came to my birthday celebration last weekend, and yeah, he was in a very giddy spirit. But he's Holly knows who I speak of. But it's a it's interesting because you have to almost like you have to capture the voice that the person that's paying you wants you to capture. So it's not exactly like writing your own style. It's almost like you have to kind of adapt to a style or take on a different style. But it's a
but
what are the challenges of ghostwriting?
Challenge.
Because you're not necessarily writing as you know originally from your heart because you know what you're being asked to write. It's work for hire, so it's a little different than when you're writing an original story in that way. But what are the challenges you find in ghostwriting?
Probably not altering or changing the author's voice too much because it seems like a lot of me comes out. Some of them don't really seem to mind, but I'll mention obscure references, like when I just finished, they were talking about deception. I mentioned this whole thing just out of the blue, made me think of the cave allegory. So I wrote like a whole paragraph about the cave allegory, even though it had nothing directly. I mean, it had something to do with the book, but wasn't directly related to the subject matter. And I'll go off on little things or metaphors that are, you know, things that I would think about and the author might not necessarily think about as well or know about too much. But that's a little bit difficult. But and there was another book, which I hate to say it. It was just, I don't know, there were a lot of revisions and edits needed, so I went ahead and I took care of it and actually practically ghostwrote the thing from scratch for the person. Even though it was just I wasn't really supposed to edit it, but I had to, you know, there's so many changes I thought would help improve their story.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I did that, and that could be difficult depending on what they want.
Yeah,
I was helping a friend of mine, one of my writers' groups, and I was trying to help him with his story, but he didn't tell me beforehand. He's wanted line edits, and I said, "Well, I'm sorry, I didn't know you didn't want to do content." So I fixed it and made it back, you know, went back to the original form. But you know, that's one thing you got to know ahead of time, whether you want just line edits, whether or not just editing or ghostwriting anything.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, and you brought up a good thing, writers' groups, because I know that you have represented the Southern Indiana writers at Imaginarium. How many writers' groups are you a part of, or is that your main group?
Right now I'm involved in two. They have the Sellersford group, which we haven't been meeting because of the pandemic. We did a couple Zoom meetings and for about half-hour sessions. And I'm also I belong to one in Seymour, which is how I met Shelley Shepherd Gray, and one of her person there is in charge of that. But it's such a far drive. It's going to be 45-minute drive from where I live, and I only get to go, plus, you know, every so often because of the distance and depending on what kind of programs they have and the weather and things like that.
Right.
But, and there was one at the New Albany Floyd County Public Library, but they disbanded. I went to one of their meetings, and they just kind of sat around, didn't say much. Not that I'm putting them down, but it just wasn't much of a lively discussion. They stopped going. I just went to the one, and someone told me, I think it was T. Lee Harris, said that, I heard they don't meet anymore.
Oh, bummer. Yeah. Well, I know Teely. Yeah, she's definitely she's fun. Like, we have got to get her as a guest on the show here.
She would love that. I think she would. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
She is a blast.
There's a lot of people from SFW who might be interested. Yeah.
Yeah, the Perbostet. Yeah, bunch.
No,
yeah,
those are real popular. Her books. Have you read her Nephi books, or I forget the name of the series, the Siddahudi Nephi books, Egyptian series.
The cat, yeah, with the cat, and all that.
They
look fantastic.
I recommend them. And she's an amazing, not only is she an amazing writer, but her artwork's phenomenal. It puts mine to shame if you look at it, but she's just spectacularly talented overall.
Well, when you see my artwork, you'll feel like Rembrandt after you see my artwork.
Oh, I doubt it.
Right, Holly?
Speaking of artwork, the person who did you, I should take the trophy and send it. They don't work for Penn anymore, which is a shame. She's one of their best illustrators they had, and she did such a phenomenal job on that book. That's the reason why it sells, not the story, but the illustrations, I think.
Which one is that?
You Are You, the one that won the award last year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But the phenomenal, I think the most phenomenal part were the illustrations. They just blew me away.
They were
cute. Working with artists is always a fun adventure when you have a good chemistry going. I've got one artist that I just adore that I work with regularly that's for our press, and I love when I get to work with him as an author, because it's tough to describe till you go through it, but yeah, when you really click with an illustrator and you're an author and you're doing illustrations, that's a cool experience. Kind of like finding a good audiobook narrator. Yeah, it's always a cool thing.
The good thing about Penn Publications is you can request an illustrator, and I actually, you'll see my artwork is not that great. I actually illustrated and wrote my own book. That was another bucket list thing. So that'll be published soon. It's called Imaginary Creatures, and it's harder for me to draw real life things. So I make up a lot of patterns and things, which look better than my people or my animals that I ever attempt to draw. I was much better in high school. I actually won a few little minor awards for my art back then. And it's hard when trying to get some of that back, but it's not, it's difficult if you don't practice all the time. Whereas writing, I could just pick it up immediately and go back to it.
Right.
But Holly likes to
do some stuff on the artistic side as well. And hopefully, you'll get going more on that, Holly, soon.
All right. She could be one of the illustrators. For your new children's division.
I'm hoping my daughter's planning on doing the illustration for my children's series. I've got to get her motivated on that, but I thought that would be so cool to have mother and daughter,
Definitely. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, I thought it'd be neat.
Well, I'll have to do one, and I'll riff off of Jen's title. I'll call it Imaginarium Creatures.
Since you're a founder, you don't need to obtain permission, so go for it.
I wouldn't do that to you. I will admit that I may have a story about that involves narwhals, and it's a children's book concept I have that I do want to do at some point. But children's books are not out of my range right now. I've really been thinking about that, but. Unfortunately,
that's great. Narwhals are really popular too right now. People love narwhals.
They are. Narwhals are
now,
awesome.
Now, Daniel
and,
is not allowed to write children's books. No, Daniel.
Yeah, Daniel is forbidden from writing children's books.
No, Daniel.
It's dangerous.
I wrote one and sent part of it to you and never heard anything back from it. So.
I don't know which one you're speaking of, but
Yeah, Daniel probably is not going to be the best of the children's book market. But if you're looking for Jack the Ripper stories, he's your man.
Nobody better. Books and they'll have like these mock children's books, like things like making fun of. You know, the one about going to sleep and you have to eat, and those ones, if you've heard of those ones. There are a lot of those macabre, with the same style, but more kind of snarky humor for adults.
Right.
So that could be something.
If Daniel released a quote-unquote children's book, it would not be marketed to children. Let's just put it that way. Because it probably involved the Victorian age and Jack the Ripper would be somewhere in there, and I wouldn't know. It would be good. but I digress.
Holly, I sent you the first part of a children's book that I was working on, and you never sent anything back on.
Oh my God! He calls out Holly on the show. Beautiful.
I thought I did. I'll have to go back and see. It's in my mail somewhere because I did read it.
This will be top on Holly's list as soon as the show is over. I guarantee you.
Yeah, I'm going to go dig it now.
Immediately.
Yeah, when she gets Daniel Dark emails, those are like the top priority whenever they come in. I always hear her. Holly's not quiet. Those of you that know Holly know she is not quiet. And when those emails come in from Daniel Dark, I do hear about them quickly, no matter where I am in the house or the city.
There you go.
So what's coming up for you? Are you? I know this has been a strange year as far as nobody's has physical appearances. Of course, we have our virtual event, at Imaginarium, and that's certainly a thing that a lot of others are doing. And as far as what do you have other online events that you're a part of, or are there some? I know Rob Hoff has snuck around and done some physical events. Our boy Rob Hoff, another one of your co-Hydra authors. Are you doing any of that? Are you doing any of that?
I have done
stuff
one
right
thing
now?
Online. It was for Chick-fil-A for Story Hour, and I read You Are You, and it's available on YouTube if you wanted to see the link. But that's the only thing so far. But I'm looking forward to Imaginarium, and since all my physical events were canceled, I'm hoping they'll resume next year, and I'd be happy to do a podcast, and I should try to. People on YouTube make lots of money, so I'm thinking of a gimmick or something I could do that people would watch on YouTube, because my channel's, it's active, but not like, not like one of
Amish science fiction. I'm telling you, Amish science fiction. It's a big thing. It's coming up. It's going to be the big money maker. I'm telling you right now. And wombats.
Oh, cool.
And wombats. But,
yeah, the wombats. I forget those.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, the corn was in Amish science fiction.
There you go.
Now Daniel's going to have me cracking up all night long on that one. Oh, God. Malachi, he wants you to. Oh, God. Oh, God. Yeah, that's going to be crazy. Corn is a blessed thing, because bourbon, it has to be 51% or more corn. So as far as the grain content. So, corn is a good thing. So we'll have to somehow roll all these concepts together. The Amish, children of the corn, bourbon. Yeah, I'm going to have to think of some good plot lines. I'm inspired by tonight's show and Jen's fearlessness. Her fearlessness was genres. Her fearlessness, and that's what we have to be. We have to break molds here, folks.
Well, so that's how they became the children of the corn, is they were drinking bourbon.
That would explain Isaac.
They did bourbon.
That would explain Isaac. That's for sure. With my strange mind, I'm going to be rolling this around my head now. This might lead to something. I don't know. But this is a blast. God, you need to come on the show more often, Jen, because, we don't get this kind of cool inspiration too often,
I'd love to be on there if you're willing to have me again. I'd love to do it again.
Sure. Well, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you are awesome, and like I said, you know, it's something that I've been aware of, but I think our listeners, you know, have not been aware of just like I said, of the extent of what you do genre-wise. Your involvement in the industry as an editor, your involvement with various presses. I mean, yeah, it needs to be brought out. So tonight,
well,
yes,
you.
We have
no idea. I mean, I may sound like I have a calm demeanor, but I'm doing cartwheels because I'm so happy right now. I just want to thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, it's about time. Yeah, because you do a lot, and people need to know about it.
And the
quality of your work as an editor, I'm very aware of, and you do a very, very, very good job as an editor. And, you know, I'm speaking just, you know, based on, you know, like I said, from a press perspective, but it's, yeah, you do great work there, and your writing is, you know, I'm very familiar with that. And like I said, yeah, Holly is a stickler when it comes to children's books. So you pass muster with her on that. You're good.
All right.
Yes.
That sounds great.
Yes.
I like happy readers and happy clients. That's my main goal. If they're happy, you guys are happy, I'm happy.
Speaking of time, Stephen, I want to find out where I can find her more.
Yep. Yes.
Oh,
where
sure.
can we
Would
find you?
You? On most of my, I just, it took me 3 months. That sounds because I had 182 titles to transfer from Lulu to Amazon. All my books are now. Except for the one cookbook, I have all my 200-plus books on, if you just search my name, under Amazon.com for books.
Wow.
I have all those fun music books you guys might be interested in. The Steve Hackett one's been a big seller, the Peter Gabriel one. It's funny, people, you know, I'm a Steve Hackett fan, so they buy that book. And the Hidden Lizzy one's selling, the Pink Floyd one, forgot to mention.
Wow.
And I also have one based on, you know, a little bit on the wall, so I enjoy that.
You need to do one on Black Star Writers, speaking of Thin Lizzy. Yeah, because I think they've carried on the legacy well without just doing the common thing and just using the old band name. They've really got – that Black Star Writers have had four good albums at this point and have kept the Thin Lizzy sound alive. But they have not done what other bands do, and that's most bands, even when they lose a bunch of members, they still, you know, just kind of keep the original band name. They actually did brand it under a new name, and I just a suggestion, but you ought to look into that, because Blackstar Riders are awesome.
I wanted to check that out. Thank you for letting me know. Pink Floyd, and what was the other one? I had another group. I forget now, but the Eagles, and you know, stuff my husband got me into over the years. You know, Genesis is my all-time obsession. If you look at my Facebook page and see that every day I put something up practically.
So what are your social media contacts do you recommend then, and websites again? Because I know Amazon is one place to find you, but where else?
I can also on Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Half Price Books, mostly through the website. I haven't gotten into the physical stores. Well, I had a few signings, but they're mostly just available online as of now. Carmichael's Bookstore in Louisville, most of the big chains. I have a couple audiobooks and e-books on iTunes, Smashwords, and Kobo. And my website is jensolinsky.wordpress.com. Mm-hmm. And there are links to most of my storefronts. And I have other things that aren't, you know, like articles I've been published in newspapers, letters to the editor, things, links for that. And people, you know, like fans posting pictures of them holding my books. If Amazon, I'm trying to push on Lulu. That's where I started off, was Lulu. But they changed their formatting, so I decided to move everything to Amazon because it's easier. Most people go to Amazon and look for books. So, and I've been selling more as a result, which just makes me happy. But that's the main one I want to emphasize is Amazon. And my Facebook, you can have a Facebook page just under my name, Jen Selinsky, and it's my author page. I have my Genesis page and my Genesis blog. It's Genesis Inside Out at WordPress, and I have an author blog and all kinds of stuff I'm working on.
So jenselinsky.wordpress.com. That's your primary
website.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because people definitely, I think, will need a central starting point to kind of explore your various realms, because you have a lot of activity there. So I'm going to make sure that we get people going to check out your work. Because I'm definitely going to have to pick up a few of these books here myself, even.
Good.
You've definitely got some sales coming out tonight, because I'm going to have
All
to
right.
go on Amazon. check a few of these out myself.
Just to let you know, if you, it doesn't matter, but if you don't, a lot of people like prefer physical. They're both physical and e-book for most of them. So that's what I offer to my readers, people who like, you know, different publications.
Right.
But the audiobooks I would like to do, but that's something that I couldn't do myself. It would have to be through a publisher. So hopefully one day, independent publications might start that, or Hydra,
cool,
or whoever else.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of luck with it.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun experience. We've had a lot of
work, but
a lot of fun.
But we have.
I
And
I enjoy finding that perfect narrator for the book. You know, you get these auditions and you'd be like, oh, they're good. They're all right. But then here comes along the narrator and it's like, oh, that's perfect.
You know,
the perfect one. Yeah.
You know it before you even let the author know. When you see that audition come in, you hear it in the press and you're like, oh, my God. Yeah, that's the voice.
I'll get excited. I'll be like, Steve, listen to this.
Yeah, the author with us always has to be the final person to agree on it, and they can veto it, of course, and you know, it's their decision. But inevitably, every time that Holly goes, this is it, the author agrees. I mean, it's uncanny. Yeah, Holly will always find the right one. It's crazy.
Yeah, I have a good ear.
She's got a knack for it.
That's great. Very, very intuitive on your part. And so that always helps eliminate or worry about an elongated process in that respect.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
a lot of work,
mm-hmm.
too. A lot of work that she puts into it. I'll tell you, authors don't appreciate, I think, sometimes how much behind-the-scenes work does go on, even on the process of an audiobook. But, it is very involved, and Holly can – I've seen her, how much time she spends
on that.
That's
amazing.
A lot.
I certainly appreciate all you do. I really want to thank you. I mean, Imaginary, everything. You guys are so wonderful.
Oh,
I hope with someone like me who's –
I'm sitting here working on Imaginary stuff as we're talking.
We do Imaginarium because of people like you. We do Imaginarium for people like you. That's the whole reason for Imaginarium. Yeah, it's for people that are go-getters, that are proactive creatives, that want to actually be positive. Yeah, it's definitely not for the negative crowd. It's definitely.
A
place where you get built. You're built up. Where you get built up. So it's not.
I think it's
not,
a wonderful.
No, don't thank us. But, thank you, because without you all, I mean, people like you and all the folks in our chat room are good examples tonight. And that's definitely it's for you guys. But it's it is labor of love. Yeah, it's no secret on that. But we got about 3.5 minutes coming up in the show. So what have we not covered tonight that you've been just dying to cover that we may not have mentioned yet? Is there anything?
No. Just mostly that I'm obsessed with them. Mostly the Genesis book, and I have a couple of new books coming out. The self-illustrated, the Imaginary Creatures. I've lost track. I'm hoping my Hydra book will be called The Doors of Summer, which is a poetry book, and work with Tony on that one. I can always tease poor Tony, that was his favorite pest, because I'm always asking him for more work and everything. And just stuff like, I always tease him about that. And I have several more children's books and the adult coloring book. Oh, I forgot to mention, I also do photo books, which are available in hardback and paperback, just the local shots. And I'm not a professional photographer, but I've made calendars. My mother, she loves the calendar, especially with the kitty cat on them. I do the ones with the kitty cat. And local things, I have a big four bridge walks, which just came out, a local one from here, my hometown of Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania. And the Playhouse Square, where I saw Travis and I went to see Steve Hackett in Cleveland last October. There's a lot of awesome day and night pictures I got to have around there, too. So if you like photography, there's a couple of those. First three are up on Amazon as well.
Wow.
And, of course, there's the cookbook.
We're going to have to start a Jen Selensky library now. I mean, it's crazy how much stuff you got.
You like turn to James Patterson here and do my own corporation. That's something
I have
my bucket list goals.
It worked pretty well for him, so maybe
I would love
to work
with him.
I
actually met him in 2016. I gave him a note, and he mentioned me in his keynote speech, and I almost fainted. He didn't say my name, but I've been trying to get a hold of him. I've been wanting to work with him for years, so I'm trying to constantly find out ways to get a hold of him. And I've interviewed Janet Ivanovich, my author blog, as well as Ellen Hopkins. Those are my two big-name authors. And I have several others, you know, friends and family and other writers. I'll have to get you guys on there, too, sometime.
We'll definitely be getting you on one of our new indie spotlights on the 7 Star blog for sure. We just launched that this week, so yeah, we'll get you on there too. Yeah, the word must spread on Jen Selinsky because he's always the genesis of exciting new projects. We're going to come up with new.
All right, I like that tagline. Yeah. In fact, my little nickname I gave myself is Genesis with a J. So when I publish a Genesis book,
I'm spelling it in my mind with a J already. I mean, that was my idea there, but
I just thought it was something I wanted to do. So when I publish that book, you'll see that not in the cover, but in the little biography section, you'll see that in quotes at the end of the book, which I thought I had to do it just because it was a good play on
words. Yes, good. Use it. That's a good idea. It is. It fits you perfectly and fits with your what you love. I mean, yeah, it's a win-win. So that's awesome. So yeah, I will sign off right now because we got about 30 seconds left. But yeah, thank you for being aboard, Jen. You've been awesome.
Oh, thank you
as a guest
so much for having me. And I really, even my whole night, you made me so happy just being able to do this and connect with you guys. And you know, I miss seeing you in person because of all the pandemic. We haven't get together, you know, very
hopefully
often.
Hopefully soon.
No.
Hopefully
but
soon.
But I will go ahead
and lift and.
But I will let you say bye to everyone, Jen, and then Holly and Daniel will take us out. But this is Stephen signing off. Every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern, the Star Chamber Show. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
Bye,
have a great night.
Thanks for tuning in. Have a good night.
See you next week.
And all of us have creativity inside of us. Find your creativity and live with it. Work on it hard. Till next week when we get to talk to you again. Good night.